Welcome to day 18 of our 180-day study through the Westminster Standards. And if my math is right, that means we're about 10% of the way through, or we will be in 10 minutes. So we're discussing the fall of man, sin, and the punishment thereof, seen mainly in chapter 6 of the Confession. We also looked at Shorter Catechism question 15. What was the sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created? The answer, the sin whereby our first parents fell from the estate wherein they were created was their eating the forbidden fruit. Well, that's true, but it's not all there is to the story. And we look at a few verses there at the top of this post, that the temptation of Satan was the temptation questioning the Word of God. He said that God hadn't really given an infallible command and hadn't really made an infallible prediction of the consequences of violating that command. This is not a universe where God has an eternal decree, as we saw in chapter 3 of the Confession. This is an evolving universe, and God really doesn't know everything that's going to happen. Anything can happen. This is a universe of random chance. And so Satan said to Adam and Eve, you should be your own God. You should determine what constitutes good and evil for yourself. And this is, a deeper understanding of the real temptation and the real nature of the fall of man than simply disobeying a command with regard to some fruit or some tree. It's the whole setting of man as a rebel against God and declaring that God can't make a command and can't make a prediction. And that was the temptation of Satan, and Eve was beguiled by that temptation, and Adam didn't exercise leadership to guard the garden and guard Eve against the tempter, and so mankind fell. But they fell into the temptation of determining good and evil for themselves. And there's a link to an article that talks about the force behind the Hebrew word for knowing good and evil, and that might be helpful to set about that point. So let's continue looking at section 6 of the Westminster Confession, and we're at section 2. By this sin, they fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, and so became dead in sin and wholly defiled in all the parts and faculties of soul and body. So by this sin, they fell from their original righteousness and communion with God, Genesis 3:6. See, the confession here starts in Genesis 6, but doesn't really take into consideration all that took place in the first five verses of Genesis 3, and that's why I put them at the top of the post for us. But when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord coming through the garden as the spirit of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the idea that man became dead in sin as a result of this original sin. That is to say, the sin in the garden. Genesis 2:17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And Ephesians 2:1 says, to believers you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Not sick, but dead. Not needing a tonic, but resurrection. And finally, wholly defiled in all the parts and faculties of soul and body. Titus 1:15. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, not, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So, in that catalog of body parts, it seems that every part has been affected. Then, section 3 of chapter 6 of the confession. They, Adam and Eve, being the root of all mankind, the guilt of this sin was imputed, and the same death in sin and corrupted nature conveyed to all their posterity, descending from them by ordinary generation. So there's two concepts there, one of imputation or reckoning or accounting, and then also generation. So let's look first at the concept of imputation. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And Acts 17:26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Compared with Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and gift of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The point the confession is trying to make in these highlighted phrases is that this one man's act was imputed to all men. 1 Corinthians 15:21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. This same death and sin, corrupted nature, was conveyed to all their posterity, descending from them by ordinary generation. Psalm 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Genesis 5:3, and Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Job 15:14. What is man that he should be clean, and he which is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Let's just read the question and answer from the shorter catechism, question 18, and the larger catechism, question 25. And then tomorrow we'll look at the proof texts as they're found in the Confession of Faith, chapter 6, sections 4 and 5. First, the shorter catechism, question 18. Wherein consists the sinfulness of that estate whereunto man fell? I guess that should be whereinto. Answer. The sinfulness of that estate wherein man fell consists in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of original righteousness, or the lack of original righteousness, and the corruption of his whole nature, which is commonly called original sin, together with all actual transgressions which proceed from it. Larger Catechism, question 25, on the same subject, wherein consisteth the sinfulness of that estate wherein man fell? Answer, the sinfulness of that estate wherein man fell consisteth in the guilt of Adam's first sin, the want of that righteousness wherein he was created, and the corruption of his nature, whereby he is utterly indisposed, disabled, and made opposite unto all that is spiritually good, and wholly inclined to all evil, and that continually, which is commonly called original sin, and from which do proceed all actual transgressions. Tomorrow we'll look at the substance in the proof text, these two questions, as they're found in the Confession of Faith, chapter 6, sections 4 and 5.